Hi, this is Jason Stein, and welcome to another episode of the Wellness Renegade Podcast. Here we explore the crossroads of wellness entrepreneurs like you and me, who are committed to making money while helping others live healthier lives. People are going up against big pharma, insurance conglomerates, and the mainstream medical model. Each episode, we journey into the challenges and the breakthroughs it takes to own your own business, pave the path through conventional medicine, and truly become a wellness renegade. I'm here today with acupuncturist and marketing guru, Michelle Grasek. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So the last time we talked, COVID had just hit, and it was amazing. People were scrambling. Nobody knew what was happening. I'm actually amazed we made it through it.
Grateful. I'm just grateful for to be here on the other side.
Now, my recollection is we both had clients and colleagues and friends that had to close down their practice because the government said they had to. And without revealing any names, I had certain clients that were like, no, like I'm just going to stay open. Did that happen?
Well, you're in Oregon, right?
I'm in Oregon, but this, I have clients across the nation and there were people in other states that were like, not me. And so did you have that as well?
Yeah. So I'm in New York and we were pretty strict. We were expected to be closed for about 2.5 months. And I think pretty much everyone was closed. There was one person. If anyone is familiar with upstate New York, I think there was someone in Syracuse who initially was like, I'm not closing. Quite a few people called them in. Ooh. And then I mean, they were still advertising online, I think. So it was pretty clear. So I think eventually the state health department, someone in the state did make them close. So
yeah,
it was a rough time.
It was a rough time. We were one of
it was a brutal time.
That were still masking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious, any insights, you may not have reflected on this question, but before COVID and after COVID as an acupuncturist or as a wellness provider, what are your thoughts?
In terms of marketing or just running the practice?
Yeah, really marketing and making sure that you can make money no matter what happens.
Well, I would say the big shift that I saw, of course, was towards digital advertising and much less in-person, like networking or being out in the community. Although I will say that in the past maybe 8 months, I think that has really picked up again, that finally everyone is like, I'm on the outside. I'm like, it's official. I'm going back into the community. I'm meeting people, where everyone is much more relaxed. Whereas like this time a year ago, at least where I live, people were still pretty tentative about going out, like in winter, like who's masking and who's not. So now everyone is just much more chill being in public, which is nice and which is good for marketing for the people who are cool with that sort of marketing. But I think for my introverts out there, we discovered that really a lot can be accomplished, including in terms of networking through the internet, right? And capitalizing on all the different ways that you can use digital marketing to get in front of your potential patients, like that audience, as well as to get in front of other businesses that you might want to collaborate with or you might want referrals from. So yeah, that's the main shift that I think of is people have become much more savvy in terms of digital marketing, social media, using ads, that sort of thing.
Now, when I see wellness providers, I see them often overinvest in SEO and digital agencies. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen the numbers go upwards to spending over $1,000 to $1,500 per month, every month.
Yep, and that's average.
And you're right, that's average. So what do you say to those people?
Well, I always encourage people to learn about SEO and feel maybe not like confident about it, but feel like they have a base knowledge of what SEO is and what are some of the things that could be done to improve SEO. Because I do think there are some sectors of the industry that can be a little sketchy. And what I find from my marketing clients is occasionally they will pay someone like $600 a month to do SEO, for example. And then they'll be doing that for a long time. And they're like, yeah, you know, my rank is decent. You know, it's not like I'm first or second, which is what everyone assumes will happen when they're paying someone for SEO. Like, I'll instantly be first in line on Google. And they're like, well, and I'm thinking of like, it was helpful, but I'm thinking of turning it off or telling this company that I'm done working with them. And the company will come back and say, well, okay, we're going to remove all the SEO that we've implemented. And then you're going to fall in the rankings. So it's like this fear game that they're playing with people to keep them paying quite a bit of money. And then the client has no idea, like, what are they actually doing in the background? Is it possible for them to remove the SEO that they've built in? What does that look like? And they don't know the answer because they have no idea what this person has been doing all along. And so that's why I think if you're going to invest in SEO services, first, you need to invest at least a little time, if not in an online class, on what is SEO and what might they be doing on the back end of your website. And I would also say if you're interviewing someone to do your SEO, like they're a professional, ask them specifically what are the things they will be doing. And if they won't tell you, if they're saying things like, oh, it's too technical, you won't understand, because that happens all the time as well. Yeah. It might be true, right? And they're just trying not to bog you down with stuff that's going to make your eyes glaze over. But you should push a little bit and be like, no, no, before I make this investment, I want you to name the activities that you're going to be doing, and then I'm going to research them, right? And I will get back to you in a week with my decision. And there's also no reason why you need to make that decision on the call with them, right? Like, you can be like, you give me the info, and this is a big investment for me. I need time so that I can research.
Yeah.
And then the other advice that I always give people when they're thinking about investing in either ads or SEO is to negotiate the price. So I recently had a friend who, she had these amazing retargeting ads for her business that were following me around the internet. So she is a, what is her title? She's a nurse practitioner who does things like Botox and injections. She runs a very upscale med spa. That's what it is. Okay. And I enjoy following her Instagram, but I have no interest in that sort of thing because I love cosmetic acupuncture and microneedling. So we're like buddies on the opposite side of this skincare spectrum. But I noticed that her ads were following me around the internet, and I was like, dang, your ads person is doing a great job. So she referred them to me. And so this is like 2 degrees of separation, right? Like, so it's her sister-in-law who runs the ad firm. So I was like, I really want to talk to them. So I felt like these are real people. So I feel like they know someone who knows me. They're not going to try to rip me off. Their initial pitch to me was $3,600 a month.
Oh my goodness.
$3,600 a month for 1 million views on my website.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what would 1 million views translate into patients? Right. And obviously they had no idea. They were like, unsure. Because this is not an industry that does ads an awful lot, right? And so I was like, here's a number what I could afford. We didn't end up working together, but it was like less than a third of their original pitch. Right. And I was like, pretty much this is it. And if you can't do it, then it's okay with me. Like, we'll have to move on. And they said yes. Right. So they said, oh, well, you'd probably only get about 250,000 views for that amount of money.
Live in your town? How many people live in your town?
How many? 7,000.
Okay. Okay. So there's 7,000 people, and you're going to get 250,000 views.
Yeah.
Probably most of those in New York is my guess. And yeah.
Well, their intent would have been to like aim for there's three big cities who are like an hour away each.
Okay.
But it just really proved to me that, like, if someone gives you an astronomical number, it's almost arbitrary, right? Like, they have a specific reason in their experience why they think that would be, quote, the best.
Right.
But maybe you don't need that. And if you certainly can't afford it, I think you just save everyone time when you come right out and say, okay, wow. Like, in my mind, I thought maybe I could afford 800, right? And you also need to do this for at least 3, maybe like 6 months,
right.
At least 3 months to know if it's working, so that your budget really depends on that. So yes, please negotiate. If anyone from a PR firm, an SEO firm, an advertising firm tosses a huge number, just be like, oh, right, I appreciate that. Here's what I can afford. If we're not a good fit, that is acceptable.
And you can go for the bronze package rather than the platinum package.
Yeah, exactly. They might have a bronze package, but not tell you about it.
Now I'm curious, because what I find is that people often do increase the SEO when they're paying for the service, but they forget that that doesn't naturally lead to conversion. There's major hiccups. It could be the sales page itself. It could be the, you don't have the phone number in the right place, or the layout's off. And so there's a lot to the game of it. And so, have you had that experience, or had a client have that experience where they invest all this money and they get all the views, but then the conversion doesn't happen?
I think so. Yeah. And I mean, when I talked about the people who are paying like $600 a month, but thinking about quitting this SEO service, it's because they weren't sure if it was generating patients. They were like, yeah, my rank increased somewhat, but I don't know if it's paying for itself.
Yeah.
And it's so hard on the internet to know, like, legitimately, where are patients coming from, and which ones are converting, and is the button in the right place? Right? Is your landing page not converting them? Is the load time on your website too slow? So yeah, it's helpful to find someone that you really trust. Like, you know, if you have a colleague who's had a good experience, ask them for their referral. Like, try to work with the person that they worked with, because then at least, you know, you're not working with a total stranger, and you can take the advice that they give you without worrying about their ulterior motive.
Yeah. And I don't think most SEO firms specialize in wellness-based businesses.
Right.
You know, they do really good with mechanics and plumbers and trade services, but for holistic services, that's generally not, I haven't found one yet that's reasonable, that also that's their knowledge base, right?
Yeah. And I also think SEO people, like companies, tend to be pretty good at brick and mortar businesses that are selling a physical product.
Yeah.
And that's pretty different than what we're doing, like you said.
Yeah. And so, as we roll up our sleeves, like post-COVID, do you feel like the whole business model of acupuncture is changing?
It's a good question, because I did think it was. And like last year at this time, lots of people were still doing telemedicine. This year, I have fewer clients who are consistently doing it. It's sort of like, they offer it, but it's no longer their focus. I do have a naturopathic client whose focus was creating an online program, because her goal was really to reach people in like further out rural areas who might not have access to a naturopath within like 90 miles, right? And so in that case, Zoom really made a lot of sense, and she could order their blood work. They could go locally and get it done. She could ship them supplements, et cetera. It was, in that case, the telemedicine was still working really beautifully, and she wanted to reach those people so it'd be more convenient. But for a lot of acupuncturists who are, you know, they're focused on serving their like immediate community, I found that at least the people I'm speaking with, most of them have shifted back towards their primary in-person practice.
Mm-hmm. What I'm noticing, you? Yeah, it's a great question. What I'm noticing is a shift in the treatment planning from most acupuncturists. The name is misleading, because they're giving exercises, they're giving stretches, they're giving supplements, they're giving herbs, they're giving
dietary
breathing exercises. And, and so they're kind of like this all-in-one holistic provider, but then they're selling an acupuncture session to session to session. And so I'm finding with my clients, we're moving into programs, and that programmatic based is a much better way to do it for two reasons. One, you're getting the initial investment that somebody's not just jumping from thing to thing to thing to thing. Two, you get time to actually unpack the health and wellness with the person. And three, the investment is often a monthly investment, so it stabilizes the income for the provider themselves.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I've never liked that treatment to treatment to treatment model for long term.
It does really allow people to be flaky.
And I think that most acupuncturists give it all away. They they text their patients, they email their patients, they take, you know, 20 hours of continuing it every year. And so they're learning, their base of learning every year is going up and up and up and up, yet they charge for that single session.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, I did talk to someone recently who has a membership program. And so at her space, they have acupuncture, massage, and infrared sauna. And I forget her price. I think she said she was going to increase it. So maybe it was like $150 a month, and you got either an acupuncture session or a massage and an infrared sauna, and then 10% off any other services. Like if you wanted to get acupuncture a couple more times that month, it would be 10% off, and then like a percentage off of supplements. And we had talked about how hard it was in the beginning for her to just let the membership charge people who weren't coming in. Right, that idea that most acupuncturists feel so uncomfortable with, you're like calling them and chasing them down and being like, you didn't use your membership last year. You have an acupuncture treatment. She's like, nope, our policy is super clear. They either use it or they lose it.
Yeah.
Right. So she's getting consistent income, and people are coming in and using it for the most part. Right. It's just occasionally when people don't. You know, and then she's like, you know, in the past, if I reached out to someone and I was like, hey, you never used your stuff for October. Did you want to come in twice in November? They would be like,
of course.
I mean, yeah. Well, actually, they would be surprised and be like, oh, you know what? I knew that I was going to miss October, and I just couldn't make it work. They just decided to eat the cost, and they were way less worried about it.
Yeah.
I think there
are a lot of supportive people. I had a cancellation a month ago. And she was like, just charge me. Like, I know that it was my error. And what you're saying, I like, because I have with my wife's the only naturopath in the county right now at the moment we're doing this recording. And so people will drive an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and then we also expand. So we have a wellness center and we have an infrared sauna, and I am a huge fan of infrared saunas. And I have a client who's an acupuncturist, and they realized they had an extra room that wasn't generating any revenue, and they put an infrared sauna in it.
I have been thinking about doing that. The only thing is I don't have an extra room. I'm like, gosh darn, where would I put this thing?
Well, they do have the blankets as well.
Yep, I've seen those.
Infrared blankets. So I'm a fan. I do believe that infrared heat is very detoxifying, very healing. I've done the research on it, and I'm just a fan of it being an added service, because we have people that regularly are taking 2 to 3 per week.
Amazing.
And what we did is we changed the door to a smartphone door lock.
How cool.
People can actually go turn it on themselves, get their salon.
Cool. So you don't have to do anything.
No, it's pretty turnkey.
Cool.
We do generally heat it up for them if we have time.
Oh, right.
But knowing we just went out of town on vacation with the family, and people used it while we were gone.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The dream.
So Let's talk about it more. Do you get involved in the politics at all? Because there's so many politics in acupuncture, in the acupuncture world.
I don't.
Yeah. And where do you land on insurance?
So I'm not taking insurance now, and I haven't for quite some time, but in the beginning of my practice about 14 years ago, I took insurance for probably 3 years. So that would have been like 2011 to 2014-ish. And at that time, I was still handing in paper, like submissions. So it was a different world for insurance.
Right.
But even then, I felt really frustrated about the amount of time that I spent on the phone with the insurance companies arguing with them. And that I don't think has changed, even though you can submit everything electronically, even though there's all of these billing companies who will do it for you. I still hear from my marketing clients that there is still a fair bit of discussion between you and either the middleman or directly to the insurance company about like why they haven't paid you. And sometimes there's no good reason. And I always feel bad, you know, thinking about the insurance person on the phone who is the middleman. And it's like, they're not making any of these decisions, but they're relaying bad news. Like, ugh, that's a crappy, stressful job to have, right? So I have an associate at my office now, and she was wondering if maybe we should start taking insurance so we could have more patients, because we could handle higher volume at the practice. And I really don't want to. And I'm always a little torn because I completely understand that, you know, healthcare is messed up in this country. But if you have insurance benefits, you want to use them, right? So if you have acupuncture benefits, you'd rather use them than pay out of pocket.
Right.
Like, I get that. On the flip side, I feel like I really am reluctant to get mired in participating in that messed up system. And so I think there's always some validity to the idea that you can't fix the system from the outside. There's people I talk to who are like, well, if you want to fix the way that insurance works for acupuncture, then you have to participate so you can understand it. And then so you can have a voice. And I always wonder, people might disagree with this. I always wonder if that's true.
Like,
is that
truly
the only way that it could be fixed?
No, I think one way it could be fixed is that people stop using insurance. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, it really, you say it's messed up. I agree with you. It's messed up. I've done the stats. It raises 10 to 15% per year. And it feels like the benefits
so
go,
expensive.
It goes down lower and lower and lower. My mother-in-law went to the doctor the other day and he prescribed a new medication. And so she went to pick it up and the pharmacist said, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Your insurance doesn't cover this medication. That'll be $1,300 a month out of pocket. And I was what kind of world is this?
And what's the point of having health insurance if that's going to be the end result?
And I also hear the other side of it is if people have that benefit, they want to use it. The ultimate reason we stopped taking it was twofold. First, Rachel, my wife, who's a naturopath, got an $8,000. I might be miscorrect on the number, but an $8,000 chargeback from Blue Cross Blue Shield of an error that was on their side. But when we looked at fighting it, we realized it was going to cost us thousands, probably the same amount to fight it.
So does the chargeback mean that they overpaid her and they're demanding that she return the money? Is that
it
what
wasn't
that
even
is?
That they overpaid her. They said that they weren't going to cover something that was covered in the scope.
Oh my gosh.
And because she's an ND, and this was like 2 years after all the services had happened.
Oh my gosh.
And when, most people don't know this, for the provider, you sign a contract that says at any point they can take the money back. And so that was the first step. And then the second step was we realized we could have a donation clinic, and we do that every week,
right?
2 hours.
Yeah.
So we do group acupuncture. We do naturopathic care. We do massage. We live in a town of 1,200. The county has 7,000. And we usually treat 10 to 15 people on Tuesdays just on donation basis. And what I love is someone brought a ham yesterday.
So. Oh, that's so good. I have a patient who lives on a mini farm. It's not a formal farm, but she usually brings me eggs.
Yeah. The best, the best. So gratefully, the hospital has one acupuncturist that we can refer to if,
that's nice.
If people really want to use that benefit. And I never judge because I know that people are across the board with their opinions about insurance versus just cash pay. And I know that cash pay is easier. Like if you go into the acupuncture forums online, no matter what the topic is, it tends to gear towards insurance payments.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I always also have some, I guess, concerns about not taking insurance in terms of occasionally acupuncturist really feels like an elitist medicine, right? Like you have to pay out of pocket consistently and it feels expensive for people. Now, I have always felt like with your health, you either pay now with your time, your energy, your effort, or you pay later when you are very sick and it's become chronic and you're elderly. And that usually is cold hard cash. And that burden extends to your family typically as well. Right. So I do think you could debate, like, even though acupuncture is more expensive out of pocket, is it better for your health financially in the long run, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know how anyone could ever extrapolate that with confidence. So I feel like we don't know the answer, but yeah, I do feel like if we took insurance, because this is a low income county of New York,
right,
we could reach more people who would never be able to afford it otherwise. And so we would increase accessibility. And so it feels bad not to do that. But I also feel like, I mean, I guess at some point you have to decide, right? You have to make a decision. But yeah, that's one of the things that's always like on the, in the forefront of my mind in that discussion with my associate about should we participate in insurance or not? And that's very much in favor would be, well, we would increase accessibility for people who would not otherwise be able to have it.
I went back and forth with this for a while, this just a year ago. And so I decided to take one MVA, a motor vehicle accident. And I took it and I went through
it's the toughest insurance type to take.
Yeah. You know, I took it. I went through it. My chart notes were meticulous and I realized that it was taking me, you know, 30 minutes for every appointment to ensure that all the T's were crossed. You know, and the I's were dotted and I realized it wasn't worth it for me. Wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and back to your low income community, because you are in a county that does have that low income. Mm-hmm. I'm just a fan of like half day a week, you and your associate can show up and do a community.
I like that. Yeah. Our office space is very small, but there are larger, like kind of like empty conference rooms in the big building where we're located.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've truly been empty since COVID. Like one other office uses them.
Yeah.
They used to be used for yoga. And now all those yoga teachers are still doing Zoom.
Yeah. And, you know, those conference rooms already have chairs in them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I use zero gravity chairs because I like them.
Yep.
But the more I'm learning, like my latest continuing ed has been battlefield acupuncture.
Oh, cool.
And I'm fascinated. You know, I think we're moving into an era where people's trauma are going to be brought up more and more in relationship to their healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so what tools can we use to not just have talk therapy be the only answer?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So as you're moving, you've always grown, like your blog has grown, your Instagram account has grown, your offerings have grown. As we look at 2024, Michelle, what's next for you?
So I will be teaching Acupuncture Marketing School live for the first time, and it will be in Melbourne, Australia, which I am crazy excited about. I don't know if you've ever run into Mandy, the acupuncturist.
Heard it's
like actually her business name. Yeah. So she runs the AcuBiz podcast.
Yeah.
And she has a very similar approach to teaching marketing that I do. And this year she was like, do you want to come and speak at this event? And I was like, wow, that's like a huge trip. I've never taught acupuncture marketing school in person, but I thought about it for a long time. And it was the perfect opportunity. The timing was right. So I am looking forward to using that as like a litmus test, I suppose, to determine if in 2025, maybe I want to do like acupuncture marketing school live on Zoom, right? It's always been pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah.
But I think people would really benefit from, you know, if I made it like a 6-week program, very much like Marie Forleo's B School.
Right.
Right. Where content is dripped out. You do some things by yourself. You hop on a call. You get taught other things. You have the opportunity to ask questions. You hear other people's questions. I think some people would really like that.
Ooh,
other
I'm a
people.
Fan. Yeah. I'm a
yeah.
Fan.
Yeah. And then it's funny because there's other people who are like, I'm so happy to do this, you know, kind of like by myself on my own terms at 3 a.m, whenever's convenient, whenever they're awake and can't sleep. But yeah, I think it's probably long overdue.
Yeah, good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, make sure if you have the dates by the time we launch the pod, let me know and I'll put it in the show notes. And if not, I'll point people in a direction where they can get more information.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm somebody, I can't work out by myself. Like, I can't just show up at the gym. Mm-hmm. I can do a little bit of continuing ed, like maybe an hour or two max on my own.
Yeah.
But if it's a lot of material, I have to have like the homework assignments and the live interaction and the peer study group. And like, I just, how I learn. And I think there's a lot of people like me that those DIY courses and they never complete them.
Mm-hmm. And for a while now, I've been offering like a one-on-one session mm-hmm. that comes with whenever anyone purchases the class, because I do think you're right that like some people, it's just not enough to be by themselves in their bubble. They don't make as much progress as they would knowing like, okay, once I'm done with this core portion of the class, then I can schedule my call and I can get all of my questions answered by the person who created the class in person.
Right.
It just gives a lot of confidence and also like motivation and accountability to continue.
It's a great support structure because I think that everybody has enough information.
True.
The lacking comes from the action, right?
Yes.
And so if you can get the pieces dialed in, I find that most acupuncturists don't have a marketing plan at all, or they've done one on paper and they're not following through with it.
Yes.
And so that's true in the wellness world. Like mm-hmm. no matter what the provider does, it's kind of like throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks rather than like, I'm regular and consistent with this.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And so that's 2024. Do you have anything big in 2025 coming?
Not yet. Not yet. I've thought a lot about restructuring acupuncture marketing school. But I kind of, you know what? I think I want to teach it live, interact with a lot more students and get their feedback. I mean, at this point, I have had a little over 550 acupuncturists go through the class.
That's awesome.
But of course, that's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Right. But most people do not give me feedback.
Yeah.
And so I am really looking forward to teaching it live so I can really understand, especially like at this point with, you know, AI on the horizon and people wondering what to do with marketing and AI, like what are the questions that people really have that are preventing them from taking action? And I feel like I am a broken record with marketing students and marketing clients. I'm always like, it doesn't really matter what you choose for marketing as long as you're doing it consistently.
Yeah.
So many times I will make a really basic marketing suggestion because I'm trying not to overwhelm people, right? Nobody wants something really complex or expensive. And I'll be like, well, have you tried this? And they'll just be disappointed that it's not an original idea. And they're like, yeah, well, but like, I don't know if that's going to work. I'm like, but that's not what I asked.
Right.
Did you try it?
Right.
Have you done it? Right. And the answer is almost always no.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever it is that someone's willing to do, I'm like, yeah, yeah, go out in the world and do that thing or publish that thing in the digital world,
right,
but do it consistently and you're going to see results over time. But it really is the inaction that I think stymies people. It's like, you just pick anything and see how it turns out.
Nice. Nice. I haven't been public about this, but the one thing we're moving into, and for the listeners, you know, Michelle and I are both active consultants and coaches, but we also have private practices. And so we're going to start moving into retreats because we have a tiny house and, you know, we can do things like IV therapy and ketamine and acupuncture and infrared sauna and hot tub. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to move into micro retreats, like two nights. Yeah.
Very nice.
Very excited about that. And just, I agree with you on the AI. It's like, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
And for those that are saying, like, you're just getting stuck with your marketing, I'm in 100% agreement with you, Michelle. It's pick one channel and be consistent, be regular, but maybe even work with someone that can help you fine tune your messaging so that the call to action is there and the clarity of separating yourself apart from the competition is there and the results will come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see them come again and again and again. And so, you know, just final words for the wellness providers. I do believe we're going to hit this whole upward trend in the next couple of years that COVID kind of peeled off a band-aid, that now's the time to take care of your health.
Mm-hmm.
So any final words from you about where we're headed or any final tips that you have for the audience?
I agree with you that I think people are more comfortable than ever with the idea of preventative medicine, of taking care of themselves for the benefit of their long-term health. And I do think that's super exciting for our profession. And you mentioned earlier how, you know, you want to integrate more things about how trauma and the emotions impact like physical illness and physical health. And of course, as Chinese medicine practitioners, that's always been a part of what we do, right? We know, we've always known it's rolled up together, but I do think the general public is more comfortable than ever talking about that and paying attention to their inner mental world and their physical body and identifying those connections. So all of that to say, yes, I agree with you. I think it's just going to be better and better for us because the general public is aware that those things are real and they're getting more comfortable talking about them and bringing them up and saying, this is what I'm experiencing. And then you get to say, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Nice.
Your stress makes your digestion worse. Yep. I hear you.
Your sleep worse, your pain intensified. Nice. Yeah.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good.
Well, I just appreciate you being a yes and being here today. I'm going to put all your links in the show notes because I love your podcast, your Instagram. Your website is always beautiful. So I'm just really grateful to be able to share you with other people. And for you listeners, I'm Jason Stein, and the new sponsor of the Wellness Renegade podcast is Wellness Renegades. So go to wellnessrenegades.com and check it out. One of my favorite offers right now is Google Business Profile reviews. So if you're not using Google Business Profiles and you're a brick and mortar, you need to be. If you're spending all that time on TikTok and Instagram, get part of your strategy over on Google Business Profile and you'll find that for very little to no money, you will get more visible and you will be able to attract more clients and patients. So I'm Jason Stein and I'm wishing you guys a great day.